Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house, and whenever you enter a town and people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' And Jesus said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today's readings are focusing on God's reign. They give us a glimpse into how God acts, and they invite us to respond to God's action. In Isaiah, we have a beautiful image of God comforting as a mother. In Luke's gospel, we are reminded of the importance of receiving hospitality and, in turn, providing hospitality. Like the 72 who were sent and had nothing to offer, no purse, no bag, no sandals, well, these individuals that were sent came bringing peace and healing, which are part of God's vision for the world. And both Paul in Galatians and Jesus in Luke's gospel remind us that we should not boast in what we do, but rather in what God has done and continues to do. Therefore, as Paul states, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially those of the family of faith. So in summary, our three readings remind us that God's reign is about peace and healing. It is about God's action. It is about giving and receiving hospitality. And it is about working for the good of all. Simple. End of sermon. I will sit down and we will move on. I mean, on the surface, right? This seems so straightforward and clear. It seems like almost nothing new than what we hear every single week. But the thing is that it is more difficult than you might think. After all, how often do we want some kind of recognition of our acts of love and service? Maybe we want our name displayed after a donation on a wall or in a printing, or we want public praise from a leader about the service that we've done for someone else, or we make an egotistical social media post about this wonderful, great thing that we have done. Or what about our own need or our desire to be the one that serves whoever we are labeling as the needy, while missing the good news and the life that is born from the relationship with the other in whom we think we need to serve? Or how hard is it for those of us in America, pick our boots up and do all that is right, that we can make our own destiny, to then be the ones who actually receive hospitality, to be vulnerable in our illness, in our old age, or in a foreign place? Or how hard is it to work for the good of all, including those who walk and talk and act and believe and hold up different political ideology? How hard is it to truly love all people? Well, if you've been in this congregation for a few years, you know that each fall we come around to this expected giving campaign. I know we're not launching it today, but instead, I just got to thinking a bit about that work that we do together. This is the time where we ask our givers to share what level of financial gifts we might expect for the next year, so that we might create a responsible and balanced budget that is also aligned with our values and goals. What we know to be true here in this place is that our budget is a moral and missional expression of our priorities and our concerns. It reveals what we care about, how we want to treat people, and where our priorities are for the future. And so, then looking at today's readings, we can analyze our congregation's budget to see how aligned or misaligned it is with God's reign for peace and healing and the care for all people. So too, the government's budget is a moral illustration that can reveal how aligned or misaligned it is with God's vision for the world. As you may know, this last Thursday, as we were gearing up for a weekend of celebration, the U.S. Congress passed a budget package called One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Following their adoption, the presiding bishop of our denomination, essentially our Lutheran Pope here in the United States, Elizabeth Eaton is her name, the presiding bishop, she called the bill generation-defining and life-altering for many, with provisions that will harm the well-being of local communities and the lives of many individuals for generations to come. And she wasn't the only faith leader who spoke out against it. We see many Roman Catholic bishops speaking out against it, and many other interfaith partners as well. You see, when we look at this budget, this national budget, what we see is that at least part of it is misaligned with God's calling to cultivate peace and healing while seeking the well-being of all. After all, our denomination, the ELCA, has long supported things like Medicaid and Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program called SNAP, or also known as food stamps, along with other programs that are expressions of God's care and compassion. What we find now is that, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, that this bill that was just passed on Thursday will transfer wealth from those in the bottom 10% of income to those at the top 10% of income. Let me say that again. those on the bottom 10% of income are going to transfer any wealth they might have to the top 10% of income. This is shamefully funding tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans on the backs of the most vulnerable. On top of that, we find that this bill also threatens family and community stability by adding over $170 billion for immigration and border enforcement. So I didn't know, like, is that something big or something small? And so looking into it, in short, it means that we are going to see the doubling of spending each fiscal year to fund ICE detention centers, the border wall, deportations, and more ICE agents so that they can triple the number of daily deportations. And furthermore, the bill harms future generations by increasing national debt and exposing future generations to dirtier air and a hotter climate by reversing our clean energy transition. Remember the reading from Galatians where Paul said, "So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." You see, Paul did not say to just care for Christians. He did not say to just care for those who are of the same national background as us or immigration status. You see, Paul calls us to care for all people. And so too, Martin Luther, our namesake, explains the fifth commandment, which, anyone know the fifth commandment besides the pastor sitting over here? Fifth commandment, anyone, shout it out. You shall not kill, right? You shall not kill. I know, that was a little gruesome, huh? And so Martin Luther goes on to explain the fifth commandment, saying, "You shall not kill," by saying, and if you know Martin Luther, he always likes to start it like this: "We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs." And so you might say, well, my neighbor is just the person who lives next to me with the same immigration status or that can afford to buy groceries. But here, Luther then goes on to describe in other writings that our neighbor is anyone that God places before you, including, get this, including your enemies. And he goes on to say that inaction toward a neighbor is also causing harm. Inaction is killing. Not caring for your enemy is killing. You see, Luther, Paul, and most importantly, Jesus makes a radical claim for ethical responsibility. You see, no matter who we have voted for, or where we get our news, or what city we live in, we are to live for and care for others. Passing it off as being that other political party, or in that other part of the United States, or in that other part of the world, is not good enough. You see, every person, regardless of their country of origin, or their socioeconomic status, or their ability to work, it is God's vision for a world where radical generosity reigns, where service is our only currency, and where peacemaking is our only goal. And seeing today's passages hold up this mirror, convicting us of our apathy, of our lack of concern, and of our willingness as people in Wicker Park of Chicago to go on and continue our lives just as they were before Thursday, we have to take seriously the words of our God. You see, it can feel overwhelming. And we can feel powerless to see this bill pass. And all that we want to do is close our eyes and hope that 3.5 more years or whatever we have left will just pass by the blink of an eye. But the reality is that it does not change our commitment to love and serve all people. You see, for us, we have a God that is described in the Bible as a mother who comforts us and provides for our flourishing. We have influence and power in our little corner of the world to serve here at the church, to continue making sandwiches to feed the hungry, to encourage us to participate in creating bags of love for the most vulnerable in our midst, that inspires us to share in a meal and a conversation with the marginalized at Trinidad Lutheran Church each month, and to remind us, perhaps most importantly, that we are not alone. That the love that we have received from our God is the love that we can continue to share. And just a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to speak with Diana from the Coalition to Save Our Mental Health Centers. Now, if you don't know what that is, or maybe you do, our congregation a few summers ago was supporting a ballot measure to ensure that low-cost mental health care could be provided in Westtown and Humboldt Park community through a small property tax increase. And it is something that is freely offered. Low sliding scale, it is blooming and becoming what it is. And in talking with her, I got a chance to learn how much closer we are. We're almost ready to select a provider, and then we will have a space, and then we will offer free, no cost mental health services here in our community for all people. Hard stop. But what she also shared with me is the wide spreading success that they are having all across the city, from Edgewater to Hyde Park, from Humboldt Park to Logan Square. You see, it is taking over the city. It is becoming a reality that this is something that can never be repealed. It will care for the vulnerable. It will ensure that it can never be changed by the whims of an elected official, whether in Chicago or in Springfield or in Washington, D.C. You see, seeing that work, that for me is a glimpse of God's vision. The people serving people, giving love. And with all of that, I'm going to wrap it up here, reminding us of what Paul said. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all. As Jesus reminded us today, we are sent into the world to share God's peace and healing. And if the other does not receive that peace, just shake it off. For in your gift of peace, the reign of God has come near. There is much work to be done, but we do it together. So may we as a community, as people of faith, may we continue to strive for justice. May we step up and be the ones to feed the poor. May we be the ones who step up and care for the sick. And might we continue our advocacy for God's reign to be fully realized as we care for all people. For know this, dear friends, it is not what you do or what I do, but it is what God has done. And the kingdom of God has come near. Amen.